You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It is Monday, March the 10th of 2025. Yeah, this year is just flying right on by. March the 10th already. First weekday of daylight savings time. Beautiful start here in downtown Wausau. The time is 9:07, and the temperature now is 38 degrees under sunny skies. Yep, a lot of sunshine, few clouds out there, but it's going to be a gorgeous day. A real great way to start off the new work week. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And, 38 degrees right now, but it's going to get much warmer. Sometimes you have a temperature at this point of the day, you get up another 10, 15 degrees. We're expecting to get up another 25 degrees or so before things are all said and done. In fact, there could be some record highs possible here today. Not sure what the record is. Let me see if I can find out real quickly. But temperatures, record high temperatures for today, March the 10th in Wausau. And actually, I think there's a pretty good chance we are going to get a record here today.
Oh, yeah?
61 degrees is the record here in Wausau.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that occurred 13 years ago, 2012. You remember what you were doing 13 years ago? I don't remember what I was doing 13 years ago.
2012, I think I was graduating from high school.
Ah, there you go. Some other area towns and cities and their records for today. Merrill, same day, 2012. They had a high temperature of 59 degrees. Record high temperature in Stevens Point was 63 degrees in 2012. Was Marshfield, 63 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids that day got up to 65. But 61 for Wausau, we're going to be right around there. We'll have to wait and see whether or not we get a record high temperature today in Wausau. So a great way to start off the new work week, a chance to get out there and enjoy it.
Especially after daylight savings time, for sure.
Now, I was looking at seeing how long does it take to get over the change when it comes to daylight savings time. Yeah.
Well,
how long do you think it takes for people to get used to it? Because it does take a little time for the body to get used to starting their days off an hour early.
I would say probably on average it takes probably 2 to 3 weeks for people to adjust to that.
Very good. Very good guess.
Especially to adjust to the sleep schedule, because my family on a Sunday after daylight saving time, I was talking to my mom, and she was telling me that, I just feel completely drowsy today. Like, I don't feel awake at all. I just feel so tired. And yeah, it's definitely on average, I would say probably, best guess, 2 to 3 weeks for people to adjust to daylight savings time.
Well, Scientists say that it could take some of us, and again, there's not one answer for this. I mean,
no,
some people,
a lot of factors.
Some people, it's basically no time at all, and other people, it takes a while. But according to some studies that have been made by scientists, it could take some of us up to 2 weeks to recover from the effects of our shifted clocks. So you're right on there, about
nice.
2 weeks or so.
That should have been the number of the day.
Well, could have well been. I had a couple of options, and coming up at the end of the show, we always have our daily history lesson where we talk about some of the famous events that occur on this date in history, today, March the 10th.
Yeah.
Celebrity birthdays, special events being acknowledged today, and then our number for the day quiz. And the actual number for the day that is provided, we have a service that gives us some information here, and one of the items is the number for the day. And I decided that I'm not going to use this, not because it's not a good one, and in fact, I'm going to talk about it right now, but because I want it to be a little bit more uplifting to start off the end of the show here and launch people into their Mondays, because this one kind of makes me a little bit annoyed. But according to
the
number for the day that was given to us was the number of historic photos and online posts marked for purging from the Department of Defense as part of its effort to remove materials related to diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Jeez.
I mean, many of the images feature women and minorities, but Pete Hegseth, the new Secretary of Defense, has made killing DEI basically one of his top priorities.
Mm.
And they're actually spending their time at the Department of Defense going through historic photos and other online materials to purge because they think it might be DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But the number, how many historic photos and online posts have been marked for purging from the Department of Defense? Take a guess. I'm not going to even give you a number. I'm going to say take a guess.
How many photos have been marked for perjury?
Yeah, just marked. You know, they're going through things and saying, hey.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot here.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I know it's hard. But it's only been less than 2 months, so it's not like they've gone through everything anyway. So
700? Just taking a guess.
I wish it was that low, because it's 26,000.
Jeez.
But the thing is, the Department of Defense spending their time going through photos to try to purge for DEI when they should be working on defending the country. That seems to be...
It just shows on how unqualified this person is.
I know. It does, but, I mean, it comes from the top. It starts with Donald Trump and goes right on down. So,
yeah.
So 26,000 historic photos and online posts have been marked for purging from the Department of Defense as part of its effort to remove materials related to DEI. So
I'm glad that wasn't the number of the day.
Yeah, because I...
Definitely, I would not have gotten that.
Yeah, I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to end it with a note that would make us a little bit annoyed. So what I decided to do is, because we talked a little bit earlier about golf courses.
Yeah.
About, being so warm, being in the 60s, and people start to think about hitting the links. Mm-hmm. Well, the topic for the number for the day will be golf courses.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a good
Dad,
fit
I hope
here.
You're listening, because you might know the answer to this
I'm
one.
I'm guessing that he might know the answer to this one, but he's better not be sending you any hints on this. But we don't know what within the
he
topic.
He sends me the mental vibes.
There you go. But that's only the topic. I will get very specific when it comes to the actual number for the day when we get towards 9:55, 9:56 this
number.
Morning. Yeah, I think it is. I think that, after a long winter, you get a day like today, you start to think of those outdoor activities, and one of the things that people love to do here in north central Wisconsin is go golfing. We have some really nice golf courses, and hopefully that the weather, the sunshine will melt any of the snow that's remaining, and then all of a sudden, that's the first step. The second step then is to dry out the courses, because when you melt all the snow, if you go by a golf course, you're going to see a lot of puddles out there.
Oh, yes.
So it's going to take a little time to get those golf courses into
sometimes
a shape.
Bunkers themselves. Sometimes even on the holes.
Exactly.
On the greens, you can get like those pretty deep puddles. Like, you think it's not that Hadid, but then you put your foot in there and you kind of sink a little bit.
So, right. No, you're exactly right.
You have to be patient with the golf courses because they will be ready. Just it has to be a little warmer to, you know, fully hit, dry them out.
You know, sometimes I feel like I am just not connected at all with what's going on. I think, you know, I spend a lot of time following what's going on in the news and in politics to make sure I'm able to talk about things in a somewhat intelligent manner. I know some people out there think that I don't do that at all, but I try my best. I follow the sports and the high school sports, but sometimes it's like, you know, I feel like in terms of popular culture, I'm missing out, because this weekend the number one movie at the box office was Mickey 17. And I had never heard of this movie.
I haven't heard of that one either. I haven't been keeping up with pop culture either.
But it's like, I look at this and I see,
keep up with Disney, but not really like the big Hollywood movies that have been happening. But I've never actually heard of that movie.
And I'm thinking, you know, Mickey 17, my first thought would be Mickey Mouse. But I don't think it's about Mickey Mouse. Mickey 17 was the number one movie at the box office this weekend, bringing in $19.1 million.
Wow.
It is, according to Variety, they call it a big budget stumble, because apparently it is a science fiction black comedy film. So, you know, actually, it sounds like something I might be interested in. Robert Pattinson is the star. But it was number one, but apparently not at the level that they wanted it to be at. So $19.1 million. Number two was Captain America, Brave New World at $8.5 million. Last Breath at $4.2 million. The Monkey at $3.9 million. And Paddington in Peru at $3.8 million. You know, now that my evenings are a little bit more open, that Winter High School Sports has done, maybe at some point may have to go see Mickey 17. Just to, you know, since they're a big budget flop right now, they need to get some of that money brought back in. Who knows? But I find it interesting. They're number one by more than double with the number two, but yet, according to Variety, not reaching the level that they thought it might. So
I guess that's what they call it, a stumble.
Well, and the thing about it is, it just feels like people don't go to the theaters as much. I think post-pandemic, it's a lot of people watch these movies on streaming services now. So, you know, wait a little
but
time.
It's not the same as seeing
not at all.
A theater. I like the ambiance of getting into the theater. The smell of the popcorn, the reclining seats, just seeing the bigger screen, the sound in your face. It's very surreal, and just watching it on your TV at home is not the same.
The smell of the popcorn is good. The cost of the popcorn is not so good. So
yeah. Depends on when you go.
The time is almost 9:19. Again, 38 degrees, sunny skies here in downtown Wausau. Back in a moment here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Life is so strange. When you don't know, how can you tell where you're going? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change, and then you won't know. We'll be right back.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. 38 degrees, plenty of sunshine. You can also tune in by going to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO page. See a video stream of our program as well. And you can be part of the show by calling or texting. And again, the number to call or text is the same number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us and be part of the program here on 98.9 WXCO. And of course, you can do it as well by using your Civic Media app. Just download the app, search Civic Media in your app store, download it. It is free. And then you'll have all of the stations on the Civic Media radio network available to you at the touch of a fingertip. So again, a lot of that going on. This morning, following along again in terms of the markets. And to be honest with you, I've never been one that either gets too high or too low depending on where the markets go, because basically, yeah, I've never been in the markets. It's a basically a rich person thing, because there are times where good economic news for average people would lead to the stock market going down. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. It's like, uh-oh. For some reason, the richest people don't like that one, so it's good economic news for those who are not the richest people in the world. But it's been interesting. Last week, as we heard on our top-of-the-hour news update, was the worst week of the markets in 6 months, because Donald Trump, again, rattling his saber when it comes to tariffs, threatening 25% tariffs, saying they're going to go into effect, then backing off and saying we're going to wait again a month. I mean, Donald doesn't seem to know what he's doing. And today, there's still some... I laughed because I saw a social media post talking about some of the rich people are really nervous because the markets could go down another 5% today, because based on, again, the tariff promises of Trump and some of the other economic activity. Again, the markets should not rattle people, whether they go up or go down. I know a lot of people in their 401ks, it matters. Mm-hmm. But the idea here that the market going up or down should affect our lives in a major way. Yes, if it continues week after week after week, yeah.
Some way, but it shouldn't be like the end of the world, I don't think.
Some good news to report.
Oh, okay.
X went down this morning. Elon Musk.
The whole site went down?
Well, according to Variety a few minutes ago, Elon Musk's social media platform X, previously known as Twitter, has spent periods of Monday down for thousands of users in the U.S. and the U.K. And again, I guess, you know, thousands in the big picture doesn't really sound like a lot, because I don't know how many people are using it on a consistent basis now. Yeah. But according to outage tracking website downdetector.com, in the first incident, there were more than 21,000 incidents of people in the U.S. reporting issues with the platform and 10,800 in the U.K. The platform appeared to be back to normal early this morning, but then later in the morning, X went down again with more than 5,000 incidents about 30 minutes ago at about 8:45 a.m. Central Time. X did not immediately respond to Variety's request for comment, and Musk is yet to address the outage on his own X page. I got a prediction to make that Elon Musk will not be part of the Donald Trump administration in 3 months' time. I think they're starting to hear some rumbles of discontent within Trump's own administration, that people that are in charge of different agencies within the federal government are worried that they're going to get blamed when all these cuts that are occurring, there's going to be issues. There's going to be problems. There's going to be things that people in the United States of America expect to get done that won't get done. And who's going to get blamed? The people at the top of the pyramid within those agencies. They're worried that what Elon Musk is doing is going to cause them to look bad and not have Musk take the blame when all of the garbage hits the fan. So mark this down, that it is March the 10th of 2025. That means by June the 10th of this year, Elon Musk will be announcing that he's going to go back, focus on Tesla. He's going to go back and focus on his space programs. He's going to go focus on X. He's going to focus on other things, and he's going to be leaving the Trump government within the next 3 months. That's my prediction.
You know, there's a saying that, you know, for the rich people, it's not my problem until it starts happening to me. I mean, that is just so cynical. It's like, well, it's not my problem. It's happening to other people, but it doesn't affect me, so not my problem. But then as soon as it starts to affect them, it's like, okay, I need to do something about this. It's like, why weren't you doing something before?
Unfortunately, though, Ian, I think that's not just a rich person thing. I think that's everybody.
That's a common people.
I've read a number of stories recently about people that have lost their jobs because of all the cuts from DOGE. And they're saying, I voted for Trump, but I didn't expect this to happen. Well,
what did you think was going
to
happen?
The idea, though, is that if it happened to somebody down the hall, if the person that's working at a desk across the way gets their job taken away, then that's okay? No. It should not have to affect you personally before you actually start to say, hey, this ain't right. But unfortunately, we all look at it from our own point of view too often.
Yeah.
The time is 9:29, another information update. How are the markets doing? We're going to find out coming up next here on WXCO.
Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up after we're done, it'll be Matt and Air on Air from 10 a.m. until 12 noon at 10:30. Jane and Greg, welcome back to the show. Retired Major General Randy Manner, National Security Leaders for America, for a conversation about what is going on in international affairs and how it affects us here in Wisconsin. So that's Matt and Air on Air from 10 a.m. until noon, and then stick around. Todd Alba back with us from noon until 2 today. Maggie Dawn from 2 until 4, and then finally Dom Salvia from 4 until 6. So make sure you keep it right here all day long, 98.9 WXCO. An interesting piece of information just came out in the last few minutes, and actually over the weekend I was thinking about this a little bit, this idea that conservatives have pushed for many years about the liberal media, that the media is liberal,
when, in fact, it is not liberal. It is a conservative media. You got the very rich, the billionaire class, the Jeff Bezos of the world, who are running places like the Washington Post, Rupert Murdoch running the Wall Street Journal. And this morning, a longtime reporter, editor for the Washington Post, Ruth Marcus, and she's been somebody that you can agree with a lot, and maybe there's times you disagree, but she is somebody that has been a pillar at the Washington Post for four decades. She has been somebody that's been an opinion writer. And recently, Jeff Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post, said that they're going to change the opinion section of the Post, mm-hmm. that they're going to basically narrow their focus, not have as much in terms of broad discussion when it comes to what is going on in the world.
He said there was only two focuses that they were going to do. Very specific, but...
Exactly. The pillars of individual liberties and free markets.
Free markets.
Free markets and individual liberties. Well...
I knew it was something about markets.
Right. You're exactly right. And this morning... Well, actually, what happened was Ruth Marcus had written an article that would be put in the opinion section of the Post talking about concern about the direction of the paper's opinion section, saying that there's some concern out there within herself, within others on the opinion side, that this new focus would be bad for the paper and bad for the country. Well, she submitted this to be put under her byline where she writes opinion columns for the Washington Post. Well, the CEO of the paper, Will Lewis, and this man, Will Lewis, is somebody that came to the Washington Post after working for the Wall Street Journal under Rupert Murdoch. He had worked over in England for Rupert Murdoch papers as well. He is somebody that would not be considered friendly to those left of center.
Oh, dear.
And he is somebody that got into a little trouble for being the editor of one of the major papers in England that was doing some illegal reporting, basically, some illegal wiretapping and eavesdropping on members of the royal family. And they were forced to pay a rather large sum to members of the royal family for this illegal work. But Will Lewis killed the column that Ruth Marcus had submitted to talk about the concern about the direction of the paper's opinion section. Well, in the last 20 minutes or so, it has come out that Ruth Marcus, after that, has resigned from the paper. And she posted on her online forums, whether Blue Sky and others, that she says, "With immense sadness, I am writing to let you know that I have resigned from the Washington Post. In an email sent this morning to Jeff Bezos and Will Lewis and pasted below, I am taking this step after more than 40 years at the Post following Will's decision to spike a column that I wrote expressing concern about the newly announced direction for the section and declined to discuss the decision with me. As I leave, I'd like to emphasize two things. First, how much affection and respect I have for you all, and the terrific, innovative, probing coverage you produce." This was a note to the Washington Post staff. "Second, that my decision reflects what is the right step for me and me alone and does not suggest what anyone else should do in the circumstances in which we find ourselves." The thing is, I think you can have great respect for Ruth Marcus deciding that what is being done at the Washington Post is wrong. But at the same time, the way I look at it, is I will not criticize those who stay at the Post to fight for their belief in what that newspaper should be. Because if everybody who disagrees with Jeff Bezos and Will Lewis's new ideas about where the Post should go, and they all leave, they will be replaced by people that will fit that mindset. And the people that are willing to fight for it. And that reminds me of the old saying where people would say, "Hey, if Donald Trump is elected president, I'm going to leave the country." And often it's hyperbole. But some people do decide they want to leave the country. I would rather stay and fight for what we believe in.
Me too.
That if you leave the country, if you leave America and leave it to people like Trump and Jeff Bezos and Will Lewis, then all of a sudden there's nobody there to push back. And the country will go into the vision that those folks have for it. And the same thing here with the Washington Post. For Ruth Marcus to decide that, hey, I cannot continue when the editor, the CEO, will not meet with me to talk about why this column was spiked, and that is the right move for her. And I think it's nice that she said at the end, hey, this is what I think for me. This is the best move for me and me alone. For those of you who have similar feelings about what this paper should be, and you stay and fight for it, that is perfectly okay. And I do think that we need folks to stay and fight at the Washington Post and at the New York Times and other papers that seem to be shying away from conflict when it comes to the new administration. So I just think this is rather significant that somebody that has 40 years of experience at the Washington Post has decided that she has cannot stay anymore, that she has to move on. But at the same time, I do worry that people leaving the Post will turn the Post into a right-wing rag that does not hold accountability to power, that Donald Trump will not get a pushback anymore. And that's a worrisome aspect. Also, another story that is kind of broken over the weekend that we need reporting on is a man named Mahmoud Khalil. Mahmoud Khalil is somebody that was at Columbia University and led the encampment protesting Israel and its what they call genocide against Palestinians. Well, last week, Donald Trump and his administration announced that a great deal of funding has been taken away from Columbia University. And now, this student leader, Mahmoud Khalil, has been arrested and moved by ICE to a detention facility in Louisiana. What happened was that a couple of days ago, the Department of Homeland Security detained Khalil, who had helped lead the Colombian encampment. Agents told him his visa was revoked. He said he had a green card. The people from the DHS were confused and then said that was revoked too. His attorney demanded a warrant, and the agents hung up instead. This is what is happening out there, people. You can agree or disagree with folks at Columbia in over the last year and their encampments to talk about their feelings about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mm-hmm. You can agree or disagree. Yeah. But the idea that somebody using their free speech rights is now have been arrested, hauled away from New York City, where Columbia University is, to a detention facility in Louisiana. And that when their attorney, his attorney, demanded a warrant and demands answers, agents hung up. There's something stinking in this situation.
Absolutely. There's something very wrong in that situation.
And the idea that this can happen again to this one person, and we have these, quote, detention facilities. That's very close to a Trump concentration camp. You don't like, the folks in the government don't like what you're doing or what you're saying, they'll haul you away. And it sounds like they're looking for pretense here. If he has a green card, he has a right to be here. And now they're hauling him away to a detention facility led by ICE. This has to be watched, folks. Watch what's happening here. Because, again, there have to be rules for ICE. There have to be rules for the DHS. Just like there has to be rules for all of us.
Uh-huh.
But you hear people like Musk talking about, well, no, we shouldn't have any rules. If we need rules, and when I say rules, he has said regulation. But what is regulation? Regulation is rules.
Rules are the backbone of our a society, if we don't have rules and regulations,
then people like Donald Trump
is going to break down.
And ICE and DHS can do what they want.
Yeah.
So again, Mahmoud Khalil being held by ICE in a detention facility in Louisiana after his lawyer was refused answers on what was going on here. When you start hauling away people and they're hanging up on the lawyers, there is something that stinks big time right now.
I really hope his lawyer is going to fight back against this. I hope he gets him out of jail.
We need some judges and others that will stand up, and we also need, again, what the conservatives call this liberal media that seems to be kowtowing to Trump at the highest levels, the billionaire owners. So, again, I think, again, interesting things to keep an eye on as we continue.
Definitely.
9:48 is the time. Coming up, we'll have our daily history lesson. We'll talk about some famous events, historically speaking, on March the 10th. Plus, at the end, we will have our number for the day quiz. And we'll see if Ian can get off to a good start.
Yes.
That is straight ahead here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Real quick note here. I just came across. Donald Trump has cost American taxpayers more than $18 million since he regained the presidency because he insists on playing golf at his Florida courses. That's in less than 2 months. Trump has, again, cost American taxpayers more than $18 million since he regained the presidency, setting him on a pace to exceed the $151.5 million he spent golfing in his first term. This past Saturday, Trump played golf for the 13th day of his 48th in office, and it was his 10th day playing at his course in West Palm Beach in Florida.
So, there's something wrong here, people.
I tell ya.
All the evidence is here. He's doing all
I'm
this.
I'm sorry.
Just...
Let's stop paying Donald Trump's green fees, okay? If he wants to golf, he'll pay for it himself. Elon, you're looking for savings. There you go. All right, just wanted to say that real quickly.
Yeah.
Today is March the 10th of 2025. It is day number 69. Day 69, there are 296 days remaining in the year 2025. Some famous events have occurred on March the 10th, this date in history. On this date in 1969 in Memphis, Tennessee, James Earl Ray pleaded guilty to assassinating Martin Luther King Jr. He would later retract his guilty plea. On this date in 1980, Willard Scott debuted as the new weatherman on The Today Show on NBC. On this date in 1991, Easy Rider Peter Fonda led 5,000 motorcyclists through Daytona Beach, Florida to celebrate Bike Week. On this date in 2014, you talk about a landslide. This was a landslide. Kim Jong-un was re-elected leader of North Korea with 100% of the vote. A popular guy.
Yep. Definitely a landslide.
100% of the vote for Kim Jong-un. And on this date in 2020, the Russian lower house of parliament passed legislation to allow Vladimir Putin to hold the office of president for life. You don't think Donald Trump would like to see that happen here?
He certainly would.
A few famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Chuck Norris is 85. Sharon Stone turned 67. Actor Jasmine Guy from A Different World is 63. Paget Brewster of Criminal Minds is 56. John Hamm of Mad Men turns 54. Carrie Underwood is 42. Olivia Wilde is 41. And Emily Osment of Hannah Montana and Young Sheldon is 33. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Special events today. Check Your Batteries Day. International Bagpipe Day. International Lime Day. International Day of Awesomeness. It is Ranch Dressing Day. Pack Your Lunch Day. And Salvation Army Day. So all those special events being
Salvation
acknowledged.
Army is a very important organization.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. All right. It is now time for our number for the day.
First one of the new week.
Yep. We give Ian three choices. One is right. Two are wrong. So based on the math, needs to get one out of three correct, 33%. 33% or better for the week is a passing grade. Below that is a failing grade. But we want a winning week, which is more right than wrong, 3 out of 5.
Yep.
Ian's best week is 4 out of 5, and still looking for that best ever perfect week, 5 out of 5 right.
Hope I can start it this week.
Golf courses.
Golf courses.
That's all right. The number for the day is, how many golf courses are there in the world?
Oh, gosh.
The number of golf courses in the world.
The whole world.
Yep, the whole world. That's our number for the day.
All right, now what are my choices?
All right. Your choices are 18,864, 38,864, 58,864.
18,000. You say 36,000?
18,864, 38,864. 58,864.
Oh, boy. Golf courses in the whole world.
In the whole world.
Oh.
Spread among 206 of the 251 countries in the world.
Dad, I hope you're sending me some mental vibes right now. Okay. I'm going to say... Oh, boy. I'm not saying thoughts. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm going to say 38,864. I'm going with a B as my final answer.
All right.
Lock it in.
The number of golf courses in the world is 38,864.
Thank you, Dad. You sent me the mental vibes. Oh,
terrific. Yes. So one for one this week.
Great way to start off a beautiful Monday.
Coming up tomorrow, we are going to talk to members of the City of Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and Environment Committee. We do that on a monthly basis. Christine Daniels, part of that SEC committee. And Carol Lukens will be joining us. And Gina Brayu as well, talking about the importance of pollinators. That's coming up. Ian, have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.